This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Senator Dick Durbin and 13 other colleagues are asking the FDA to better regulate companies that sell vaping products and e-cigarettes clearly marketed at kids with names like Cotton Candy and Cookies and Cream. GLT correspondent Colleen Reynolds penetrates the haze obscuring vaping's growth as the most popular tobacco product among teens and young adults. That's thanks to $63 million in traditional and social media marketing last year by major e-cigarette companies.
Hey vapers, Abby here, and it's the video you've all been waiting for. How to blow smoke rings. Today we are vaping on Alpha Vapes the Dude because I'm obsessed with it, and it is a pineapple peach, and it is awesome.
If you think videos like what you just heard and others like it on YouTube are not having an impact, consider Ian Hoganson, a 16-year-old Bloomington High School student.
It all just kind of started probably like freshman year. I'll be going into junior when those big vape mods were a cool thing and all the smoke tricks and whatnot. Kind of no nicotine, just kind of like with the O's and whatnot. Just kind of to mess around with, nothing really harmful.
Hoganson admits he was enamored by the wafting smoke rings on those videos, but because of his self-admitted addictive tendencies, he was also sucked in for another reason.
Now it's kind of just moved on to more of the nicotine buzz with like the Juuls and whatnot. I have kind of like sparked popularity in sophomore year. It's kind of just what I use these days.
Hoganson is not alone.
Teens are more likely, some of the research right now suggests that 4 times more likely to walk into a cigarette habit.
That's Liz Hamilton, community program coordinator for Bloomington-based Chestnut Health Systems, well-respected globally in the addiction treatment field. Hamilton says the Illinois Youth Survey from this spring, an anonymous survey of 8th, 10th, and 12th graders, showed 26% of Central Illinois high school seniors and 15% of sophomores are using e-cigarettes. That's double from just 2 years ago when the state first started tracking use. Vaporizing devices come in all shapes and sizes, from custom-built bong-like devices that can blow plumes of billowing vapor to the tiniest that look like a USB drive, with the top seller referred to as a Juul, by far the most popular among teens. According to Hamilton, Juuls can deliver up to 4 times as much nicotine as a traditional cigarette, so addiction occurs faster, and she says research shows teens have no idea what they're taking in.
I've seen some recent research that suggests that 63% of the Juul users are unaware that there is nicotine in their product.
In fact, that same recent youth survey showed only about 1/4 of high school students perceived vaping as harmful. Remember our 16-year-old BHS student, Ian Hoganson? He's become addicted to nicotine, but he says other kids don't seem to know or care what they're vaping.
It's crazy how all these trending devices like a Juul can actually get kids addicted to nicotine, and they don't even really notice it. They don't even really think it's a big deal. And I don't know if they know like the true definition of being an addict, but that's what a lot of these kids are becoming at my school.
Hoganson wishes he never started vaping, and he has a message for his 14-year-old brother Sam and other younger students.
You're not missing out on a lot in the way your brain's developing. I mean, I sound like a mom, but it's really not good to get into.
Hoganson not only sounds like his mother, he sounds like the head of the Federal Drug Administration, who recently pointed out nicotine in vaping products can rewire an adolescent's brain, leading to years of addiction. Chestnut Health Systems Hamilton says most addictions do have roots in the teen years, and she argues vaping is a gateway to other tobacco use.
Teens are more likely, some of the research right now suggests that 4 times more likely to walk into a cigarette habit.
23-year-old college student Kyle Fitzgerald already had a cigarette habit by age 15. Growing up in suburban Chicago Heights, he found nicotine helped with stress and anxiety he felt in high school.
After about 3 months, you're kind of addicted to cigarettes and you like that buzz and that feeling in your head. So I was looking for something that I could do where I wouldn't get in trouble because my mom has the nose of a bloodhound.
At age 16, Kyle found his answer in the form of a vape pen that his stepfather Arthur began using to kick his addiction to chewing tobacco.
So I would go into his room and I'd take his little vape pen and I'd use it. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. This is awesome. I want my own, because he always knew when I'd use it. So I went out and I got a couple friends together and I found one of my friends who was 18 and we went to Indiana where it's cheap and really accessible.
At age 17, Fitzgerald's mom found his Sherlock Holmes style vaporizing pipe and threw it out.
He returned to cigarettes because he says he could no longer invest in vaping supplies.
I think it was like $45 for just one of the smaller, like 60 milliliter bottles. That would last me probably like a week and a half. Yeah.
Now Fitzgerald is back to vaping because today's smaller devices are cheaper. Online, they go for as low as $10, including one cartridge of vape juice, and they're easier to get. Hoganson told us it's been easy to get supplies from what he describes as sketchy gas stations.
Just kind of crazy how a 13-year-old kid could walk into a gas station and get whatever they want. No IDs or whatnot.
Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner says his agency hasn't specifically tracked violations of sales of vaping products to anyone under 18, but he plans in the future to separate out tobacco and vaping-related violations due to what appears to be, in his words, a growing problem. To date, he's not aware of any vaping sale violations. Bloomington Police Public Information Officer Elias Mendiola says he didn't have access to information about tobacco or vaping sale violations readily available, but added he's not sure the metrics will, as he put it, show anything significant.
Yeah, it's been a problem of people doing it right out in the open.
That's Bloomington High School Assistant Principal Michael Shanley, who says because students are able to use such small devices, vaping violators are getting pretty bold about sneaking a hit.
So we've had a couple instances of students doing it in the classroom. Mostly it's been in bathrooms. It's been reported students doing it in their car in the parking lot. We have had instances of a kid doing it in the cafeteria.
One enterprising company has developed a smartphone app that connects to a system to detect vapor from e-cigs. Shanley says no such drastic measures at Bloomington High School yet, but with a population of 1,500 students, the school saw 14 violations for tobacco this school year, and all were vaping-related, compared to 2 disciplinary actions against students caught vaping last school year. Shanley admits administrators were caught off guard about how fast use is growing.
We're seeing it across all demographics. We're seeing it across all socioeconomic status. You know, it's a lot of, I'm seeing a lot of different types of kids who get caught for this. It's not just one group.
In Unit 5, Normal Community High School Principal Trevor Chapman says there were 28 tobacco violations among more than 2,150 students this year, and all but 2 were vaping related. First offense results in an in-school suspension. Chapman will be working this summer on an anti-vaping campaign with Hamilton from Chestnut and the BN Parents Campus Community Committee. Chapman believes it could include embedding more information into health classes, but he thinks it should also include a student-to-student strategy.
I mean, students certainly react much more positively and sometimes, I would say, pay more attention when it's their peers that are providing information to them. And so we are hopeful that as students assist us in this, that the rest of our student population is more willing to listen.
Normal Community class of 2015 grad Benjamin Nielsen, now an Illinois Wesleyan University student, will be helping with that anti-vaping strategy. He's involved in a program called Always Unstoppable and visits local high schools championing individuality to give students confidence to make good choices. In high school, Nielsen didn't really have friends who vaped. Today, he knows many who do, and he says none are casual users.
I have roommates that are waking up, and the first thing they're doing before they go brush their teeth is they're sucking in nicotine from their device that's charging overnight, and it's literally one of the first things they're doing when they're waking up, and they're doing it periodically throughout the day.
Nielsen says a campaign to educate parents and teens will help, but he's convinced kids won't respond to messages about long-term health effects.
A lot of these teenagers are just thinking about the now. They've got to find a way to show short-term side effects or short-term disadvantages to vaping or the flavored nicotines.
Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says the tobacco industry has dusted off its old cigarette marketing plan to hook another generation, which will be addicted to a new nicotine product that can be vaped. McLean County Health Department Director Camille Rodriguez stood with Durbin during a recent local news conference. Before arriving here 7 months ago, Rodriguez worked for the Wisconsin Public Health Department, heading heading up tobacco prevention. She worked on a campaign for parents called Tobacco is Changing.
If it's got nicotine in it, it's addictive. Some people struggle their whole lives to quit. I don't want that for my kids. So what can a parent do? Start by learning more about the new tobacco products out there. Get involved. And make sure your kids know, sweet flavors don't make tobacco products any safer or less addictive. Tobacco's changing, parents. We've got to keep up.
For teenagers, Rodriguez says appealing to their vanity, in a way, turning a mirror on bad visuals with vapors, might make an impact.
Teeth coloring and watery, itchy eyes can be all a part of the after effects. And we know how our young people love to be on Instagram and do selfies. And so if you even used that sort of take on the matter, you could definitely perhaps make some headway.
Amanda Hoganson, Ian's mom, thinks the school's zero tolerance policies are good. And she believes for the novice user, anti-vaping campaigns can help. For students like her son who are already addicted, her strategy has been to call him out on his use, encourage a better alternative such as exercise, and hope for the best.
They're still going to do it. And what I hope for mine is that it's just a phase and that it will end, but with little to no side effects health-wise.
Someone who says he's in better health today because of vaping won't debate the science, but shares his personal positive experience of switching from cigarettes to vaping. Chris Hyatt, a 30-year-old Normal Community West High School grad, started his Liquid Temptations vaping juice business 4 years ago at a time when he weighed nearly 300 pounds and felt like he was having a heart attack. He quit smoking, started vaping, and now Hyatt is a mixologist of sorts, creating vaping liquid for handheld mods and larger devices. Hyatt has perfected concoctions with names such as Crunch Cake and Uproar, described as a grape frozen sorbet taste. He supplies several of Bloomington Normal's 13 stores specifically selling tobacco and vaping products. He makes some juices without any nicotine and says he limits nicotine content to no more than 6 milligrams in a 60-milliliter bottle. For reference, one cigarette has between 8 and 20 milligrams. Like many advocates, Hyatt comes from the position of reducing harm, but he's not ready to definitely claim vaping is healthier than smoking. However, Hyatt says he feels better.
I quit smoking, like, oh my God, I was able to start eating better, start exercising. I run miles now where I couldn't run a half mile before. So it's definitely helped change my life for the better and a lot of other people I know.
Hyatt counts his own mother, a smoker for decades, as one of his success stories. However, federal regulators say there is not enough evidence using e-cigarettes are an effective way to stop smoking. And so far, no vaping or e-cigarette companies have applied for FDA approval for smoking cessation use. Still, Chris Hyatt says his home base of the Smoker's Den in downtown Bloomington sees a lot of elderly patients who were longtime smokers who have now started vaping. After a few months, he says, they come in unassisted instead of using walkers. But aren't they just transferring one addiction to another?
They will come in and they will get an e-cig set up and they will vape it. And once their nicotine's dropped from a higher level to a lower level, they're done with it altogether.
Hyatt understands the argument that vaping could be creating a new generation of addicts, but he insists his business doesn't market to kids and that his higher price point at $200 or more for a device acts as a deterrent. Still, Hyatt, who has two small children, would be okay with some additional regulation.
The label's not catering towards children. You know, we did our best to build a brand to where it's definitely more adult geared. We're okay with the warning label being on the bottle. We don't care that it takes up promotional space for our company.
Hyatt opposes raising the age for sale of vaping products to 21. He says that'll only drive younger customers to the black market and to neighboring states. 25 Illinois cities, including Peoria and Chicago, have already restricted sale of tobacco and vaping products to adults 21 and older. A bill to impose the age limit statewide is on Governor Rauner's desk. If he signs it, Illinois would join five other states that have already raised the age to 21. The governor's office says he's reviewing the legislation along with 600 other bills on his desk, and Runner hasn't made any public statements on the subject. The Illinois Department of Revenue estimates the impact could reduce Illinois sale tax receipts by $41 to $48 million in the first year. Meanwhile, Dick Durbin continues to collect evidence, and he's urging the FDA not to wait to stop companies from hooking kids with flavored vaping juices and alluring marketing.
While the jury is out on this conversion from combustible tobacco to vaping as to whether that actually is a legitimate purpose for this product, the vigor and commitment of the industry in hooking our kids is unmatched.
In a letter to school superintendents in May, Durbin asks them to provide him with data about the extent of vaping in middle and high schools and solicited suggestions for what Congress should do legislatively to prevent kids from becoming addicted. Chestnut Health's Linda Hamilton says legislation restricting sales and marketing to kids is needed, but reaching children with the right message could really make an impact.
Some sort of a message that shows a Juul and some of the other vaping devices that says something along the lines of, pick me up, I will rule you. And that is the last thing that a teenager that's developing independent wants, is for something else or someone else to control them.
Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration's plan is not to issue any new regulations on vaping until 2020. I'm Colleen Reynolds.
And I'm Ryan Denham. This is Sound Ideas.